Great. Thanks, John. So there's several folks that you can see or you can't see, depending on your vision, that are part of this project, this talk. And I'd like to recognize those folks here at this point. But I also want to say that it's time to take the blinders off. This is going to be outside-the-box thinking. I'm going to talk a lot of conceptual ideas here. And so this is going to challenge you in the way you normally think. But I think that's important. The other thing I want to say is that if any of you were listening to the president's response to the latest terrorist attack, the one thing that he did not say was, we're going to do this the normal way, which is retaliating. It was more of a direct approach to finding individuals within areas, okay? That's related to what I'm going to talk about, not in the whole social part of it, but the part that finding individuals in an area is really what we're looking at here. We're targeting our pest, and to do that, you have to get a lot of technology involved, and it also avoids the collateral damage that we see with spraying. Okay, so I'm going to move along here, and just again, I want you to think about some of the things related to this whole concept of automated integrated weed management. Outline of my talk today is going to be talking about basically integrated weed management, also breaking this down, poor integrated weed management, traditional integrated weed management, and true integrated weed management. Now, we've heard a lot of adjectives today, intelligent, smart, all these things. You're going to hear another one. This is true integrated weed management. I'll explain that as we go along. Okay, so integrated weed management. In general, it's a framework for sustainably managing weeds wherever they occur. We hear a lot about sustainability, and there's a lot of ways to describe that. In this way, it's a multi-pronged approach that puts the weeds at a disadvantage, okay? Disrupting the ecology and the biology. There's very much not just the mechanical, not just the engineering aspect of it. We're talking about disrupting reproduction cycles, preventing plants from getting to nutrients, preventing them from dispersing, whether we're talking about reproduction structures, and also slowing vegetative growth. What else does that mean? Obviously, it means using a combination of tools. I think everyone in this room is probably aware of the different methods to control pests: mechanical, cultural, chemical, biological. It also has multiple benefits, and this is where we talk about the sustainability aspect, whether we're talking about the environment, human health, and economics. And these are all treated the same way. One is not given a priority over the other. And, okay, there we go. So focusing on the ecological or biological principles, not just one management tool, and there's not just one individual benefit. So when you start incorporating all the tools at once, you can really address this whole thing about sustainability. Okay, so when I refer to poor integrated weed management, it's somewhat subjective, and I realize there's a lot of different viewpoints on this, but a lot of people could say, I'm using integrated weed management, but if the focus is just on killing weeds, if it's just one tool, and the only benefit is money and time, I would say that it's probably not real good integrated weed management. Okay, here's some consequences. Here's a consequence that I don't think anyone is unfamiliar with. Herbicide resistance. And you can look at this map. This is online. It's constantly being updated on the number of weeds that we keep seeing resistant to herbicides. We are a leader in that category. I don't know if that's a good thing, but we lead in that category. There's other countries that are doing quite well also in herbicide-resistant weeds. Okay, I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm going to move along here to traditional integrated weed management. And there's a concept out there called focusing on many little hammers. So herbicides, you could say, are the big hammer. Many little hammers include all the different techniques that are available to address the ecology and the biology of those systems. Okay, so we're focusing now on the biology, ecology. not just trying to kill the weeds, but understand why they're there, what are some things that we can do to the cropping system to put them at a disadvantage, using several different tools, and now we see multiple benefits, not just economics, but we also see environmental benefits, we also see social benefits, less exposure to herbicides, things like that. So now we have this cropping system. Well, we still have limitations with traditional integrated weed management. And just to point out, the spatial challenges relate to crop layout, okay? Most crops are laid out in nice long rows, nice geographically or geometrically designed rows, so we can run our equipment through those rows, right? So it's designed because it's most efficient for this manner. But it's also a limitation. When you have these rows, you're confined to areas. You can't move anywhere in the field except for down these areas, and you have equipment that's not designed to do anything else. Okay? There's also temporal issues. Because we're still, we don't have all the tools at our disposal at one time, these things are applied over different dates and over seasons. Okay, and then we get into issues of wet soil. We get into unfavorable conditions that basically allow or don't allow us to do the necessary management techniques that we need to be doing. And we can talk about rotations too. You can't rotate multiple crops in a season trying to address your weed problems. Okay, so here's a common issue, which if you let it go, it turns into this, this, or this. So it's a critical thing to hit these, to deal with these plants when they're small, and if you don't hit them at that point, all of a sudden you're left with a problem down the road. So true integrated weed management. Basically, target recognition and micro-application. We're including the biology and the ecology. We're bringing any tool into the field at any time, and we're appreciating these multiple benefits. So now we have cropping and sustainable systems with this technology that allows us to be use this true integrated weed management. Okay, so what am I saying here? Well, here's a picture that you could say, you know, is that the future for where we're going with this? Not necessarily. It's an idea. It's a concept. It's the practice that incorporates advanced technology. So I'm going to talk about the practice, and I'm going to talk about the adoption. Okay? These things are part of true integrated weed management. Sensors to identify things. Airborne, whether you have something flying around in the air and you have something roaming around on the ground to allow for scouting, traversing, communicating. And then computer to collect the data, and also to help with real-time decision-making. Okay, so here's just a little schematic of kind of where we are with this. And this is this was actually provided to me by an engineer. And so I cannot take credit for this. He's a part of the team. But this again talks about, so here's our scale on the y-axis, a single weed, many weeds. Here's our control method, a single method, many methods. Okay, here we are with low level. We go over to traditional. Now we go over to precision integrated weed management. I didn't talk about that, but that's a next step. True integrated weed management, where we have many methods addressing a single weed. Okay, so what are the challenges and opportunities of the practice of integrated weed management? Using true multiple modes, rotating multiple modes is not just herbicides. You're not just rotating a mode of action. You're actually rotating tools. And all these tools, that's on the engineering side. Engineers do this stuff. They're the ones that are working on all of the incorporation of these of techniques. Zero tolerance methods. So in IPM or integrated weed management, an economic threshold needs to be passed to trigger action. Is this the best way to manage weeds? We have escapes, including those that come up after harvest. We know about the weed seed bank. We know about other issues. So the goal is to prevent any reproduction, seed or vegetative. Okay, so the other practice that needs to be overcome and can be with advanced technology, we now have the ability to develop platforms. These are just some examples. Sensors, plant finding, plant species identification. Actuators, again, this is on the engineering side, whether we're talking about micro spraying, laser, water jet, things like that, and integration with the decision-making hardware, communications, all those things are part of this practice that we can overcome. I'm going to give a couple of few examples just to let you see. I'm sure if you did a Google search, you'd find some of this stuff too. The work going on in southern Queensland, looking at 3D machine vision, weed spot spraying and guidance. Here's one with combating weeds from the sky, remote sensing for crop management. This person actually, this quote in there says, it's now time to use this technology to address these weed problems. Okay, I'm going to go through these pretty quickly. Here's an idea. Robo bees from Harvard. Now, obviously, we're not talking about pollination, but if you think about, can we use small little devices to go around and attack or to address individual pests in the field? That's something to think about. Here's another one, an autonomous hoeing robot for mechanical weed control. And here's some of the trends. Again, this is from an engineering perspective. Increasing interest in mechanization. Increasing interest in considering the spatial and temporal variations. Increasing interest in agriculture UAVs. We've heard about that already. This is also from China. They're putting a large amount of money into large groups of students to look at advanced agriculture research. And then this one here, automated phenotyping, continues to be a big deal. So we've talked about practices, adoption. Weeds evolve resistance. There's labor that's lacking. We heard about the labor there's labor issues to control the weeds. But we've also got this to deal with that's the way we've always done it. So if we're addicted to a practice that kills this weed but doesn't kill that weed, all of a sudden we're reverted to a thing that we might not want to do. I realize I'm kind of rushing through this. I want to get to the end, though. We've got weed resistance and labor lacking. We also have the weed science discipline in general. Integrated weed management is not a science that is often promoted because it requires a cross-disciplinary approach. Companies hiring weed scientists for spraying or genetically altering, but there's a need for weed engineers. And so until we have a demand for that or decide that that's the way to go, we're still going to be kind of lacking in this area. Farmer organizations, they want to fund research, topics that are immediate, most recent problems. Sometimes there's a lack of interest in outside-the-box or futuristic ideas. And so that's another thing to think about. And here's the long-term investment needed, public and private, and basically a paradigm shift for true integrated weed management. So here's some examples of some collaborations. North Dakota State University and Sentara. Here's an example from our colleagues on the other side of the pond at Wageningen University, looking at this this weeder system that can work in the day and at night. Stanford University has collaborated with Blue River Technology to look at this automated thinner and weeder. So I'm right at the end and last slide. I know I've rushed through this, a lot of things that probably you might not even agree with or maybe not have thought about, but if we're going to move to low-level traditional precision to true IPM, we have to overcome the practice and the adoption challenges, and that is going to require us to think differently, whether we're the engineers or the biologists working in the field. So this is something that we've been thinking about, I've been thinking about, as far as moving us into a true integrated weed management approach. And with that, I will take any questions if we have time.
Yes, we do, certainly.
Okay.
Questions,
Stephen. How far are some of these technologies that they can actually
adopt? So the automated weeding?
Yeah.
They're available. They're not at the level that I've talked about here, where everything is available in the field in real time, but you will see automated cultivation, you'll see automated spraying. There's kind of the green seeker technology is there. it's advanced, you know, a little bit beyond that. If you look in the engineering journals, you'll see a lot of the advancements are being done there.
What are the immediate challenges with some of these?
So the challenges, as I've indicated, are not only the adoption, but you know, getting people to think differently, but also on the engineering side. So looking at, you know, whether it's, I showed the conditions of the field, whether it's, you know, overlap in leaf structure, whether it's, you know, the different challenges with the lighting and that kind of thing. But it's not impossible to overcome, especially with the technologies that are there. It could be a few years, it could be a while, but definitely this thing, it's moving along in that direction. Right.
I'm intrigued with the scale and the why. Is the current system right now of any agricultural field?
Right.
The only way I see to resolve that issue is from the x-axis with many methods, is any true IWM. So I'm a little.
Right, that's a good question, and I guess what's important is to remember that, or to think about, if you're at this point, if you're at a many weed situation in your field, and I'm not just talking about many horseweed, many lambscore, I mean the diversity of weeds.
Any species, yeah.
Right, exactly. So if you've got many weeds, you're probably at this level, and can you get to this level with many weeds in your field? Well, again, that's a spatial temporal issue because usually they don't come up in 1 hour, half a day. You've got a time period that you can work with. And also, this is not a system that is going to be applied to someone who does not have some level of management already and some level of control of their weed populations already. If you want to go into a field that's just loaded with weeds, you might as well just do the traditional spraying.
But it's not working, though. It's not working.
What do you mean?
Many weed species problems. It's not working. The only way I see forward is what you're proposing is through IWM, but it still seems to me that you got multiple dimensions with your proposal.
Well, yeah, absolutely, it is complex, but can we get people to think this way instead of this way with all I can do? I've only got one option, or I've got a couple of different methods that I can use instead of targeting the pest the way you could, and the technology is there to do that. Yeah.
I want to clarify, but I'm not sure you're going to agree with me. John Schuller. Single weed, this is where I think it's at. It occupies space. So our spatial concept of weed control is not a single space that a weed occupies. I think that's where it's coming from. So it doesn't matter what the weed is or how many different species are in the field. So if I move, for example, John is an expert in mechanization, and if I've got something mechanical that can go shoot and pop a weed on that, it's limited. There's a limit to how fast that vector can come in and out. John's actually so smart, he thinks he can accelerate how quickly that can actuate so that you can move fast enough in the field and pick up one weed and that spatial component at a time. The same thing with injection while you're talking about diversity, I think we're talking about, I've got to read in a location, a sound in that location, and I can hit it at that location in a very quick way because of technology and because of our ability to see it, image it, and actually act at that small scale. So I think I'm giving the engineer view of that, not the biologist. So you're not doing this in a single event in a single time. What's going on?
I like what I'm hearing.
Let me just tell you.
Please understand me. I like what I'm hearing, but
I don't know if we have time, Jack. Because you're
well, I mean, but the session's over. I assume people that have wanted to leave have left, so I don't want to interrupt and stop.
There's a technology called swarm bots. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Yeah.
But I know it's out there and whatever. But have you thought about any concept that said, I don't need a vehicle that's very large to go do something else? Like they have actually a lot of little small stuff that either aerial or traverse or whatever. And so that is the level that the engineers are at. And I think that's where he's coming up with it's arguing the concept, not can it possibly happen, I don't know, on a large scale. But they're working at that level.
And the thing is, remember, this is micro application. You don't have to carry gallons, you don't have to carry large equipment because you're working at the individual weed seedling. So it's a micro type of application. And if you think about either this or you think about the robo bee concept where you've got, you know, things going and addressing, I mean that's right.
Platform isn't going to work on a weed that's carrying in hundreds of individuals and square meters on a task where I messed up the year before at 2 inches of growth a day.
Yeah, that's
still a block here.
That's the research. That's where the research is needed because, like Fran said, the tools are there. The technology is there. It's the research that needs to be done to address. Because your issue is something needs to fly, okay, because it cannot go on the ground.
Yeah, but then when's the loft?
Well, exactly. You can.
Texas High Plain have to call for amaranth, and I've been out there.
Okay.
For a large part of the day, the wind is 35 miles per hour or higher.
Okay.
And a platform that's going to stand against the wind.
Is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? Because you can come up with right?